It is good to see everyone today. We are continuing looking at the same subject we have looked at the last 2 weeks. However, the title is different today. Our focal verse will be John chapter 6, verse 32 through 33. And then we'll look at verses 40 and 48. And we're kind of rifle-shotting it a little bit as we've been studying the Greek word zoe, which represents our inner spiritual life. But the title today is Living This Eternal Life, Life, with eternal life in quotations. Living This Eternal Life, Life. And so the question is, are you living this life? Are you experiencing eternal life in the way that God desires you to today? So let's go to the Word. John chapter 6, verse 32. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, truly I say unto you, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven, the manna, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven and gives you the true bread from heaven today. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life, zoe, the inner spiritual life, unto the world. Verse 40, And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting eternal life. Everlasting eternal life. Would you say that with me? Everlasting eternal life. Man, that's a good feeling to be able to say that. Everlasting life, man. You got to love it, and you praise God for it. And I will raise him up bodily on the last day. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My spirit, my soul, my personality, my emotions will one day, if I die before the rapture, leave this place. And as I've told you many times, I appreciate you all coming to my funeral, but I will not be there. You know, I'll have to miss you on that day. And verse 58 says, This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but my bread, I am the bread of life. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. That's eternal life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come to you today, I confess to you, Lord Jesus, my daily sin and my weekly sin. And I speak them out loud to you. And I want to thank you for the conviction of your spirit, because it's getting harder and harder. And so, Father, make me so uncomfortable with sin. Because I know that Isaiah says that my best works are filthy rags. So imagine how much worse my sins to a holy God. So Father, let me see my sin as you do and grow in the conviction. But Father, I want to thank you as I confess my sin. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses me of sin. And I ask that your Holy Spirit will change my flesh. Crucify my flesh to die unto sin in these areas and to live unto righteousness in these areas. And I pray now, Father, for an anointing of your Holy Spirit, body, soul, and spirit, to wash the feet of the people listening in this room and on this website. And Father, I just pray in a special way that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher for all of us. As we say unto you, Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from you today? In your glorious name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. All right, Jesus says in verse 58, This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness and died, but he that eats of this bread shall live forever. Now this life he's talking about is not bios. Bios is physical life in the Greek. And my physical life's going to die if I don't get changed at the rapture. But he's talking about the Zoe life, the inner spiritual life found in Christ Jesus, which Zadite says represents all the highest and blessed of Jesus Christ. So every attribute of Jesus Christ enters into me at the point of salvation. And when I receive that Holy Spirit, Paul tells us in Romans that when we get saved, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead comes and lives within me. So that's one aspect of Christ that I receive at salvation, the resurrected, living forever Spirit. And so that's why Jesus says, when you partake of me, when you receive me inwardly, you're going to live forever. So one day you may read that I was born on March 17, 1960, and that I died on a certain date. That'll be my obituary for my bios. I will have a physical life that had a beginning and it had an end. But I want you to understand something. When I got born again around 1970, when I got saved in those years, during that season, I want you to understand God knows the exact point when he saw saving faith in my heart and he sent to me the Holy Spirit and he indwelled me, and that date, along with my name, I believe, is recorded at that point, covered by the blood of Jesus. But I want you to understand, there is no end date to that. I'm going to live forever. So he gave me a forever life at that moment. Amen. So the question is, am I living that life? Am I living my eternal life? Now, turn back to where we began in verse 33, where Jesus says, "For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world." Now, for the last 3 weeks, we've been studying this life. And it's explained many ways. Eternal life, everlasting life, resurrection life. Jesus says, it is my life that I'm going to put into you. So I want you to understand that at some point, the very life of God in the person of his Holy Spirit. Now, Spirit in the Hebrew is Ruach, and in the Greek it's Pneuma. And it means the same thing. In Genesis chapter 1, when the Ruach moved upon the waters, it represented the wind and the breath of God. And all creation came into being. In the New Testament, when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit, the Pneuma, and he said the Spirit is like the wind. It blows. You can't see where it's coming from and you can't see where it's going. But Nicodemus, you sure can feel it.
Amen.
And you can experience the reality of the wind. When it blows a house down or blows you down or blows a tree down. So this wind or this breath has entered into our life. So go with me to John chapter 20. And let me show you this experience that we have all had as individuals. And the disciples had it the first day of the resurrection. Many people aren't familiar with this scripture, and it's a shame. And folks will say, Brother Leo, I didn't even know this scripture was in here. Well, my friend, it is a powerful scripture, and you need to know it's in here. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, "The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear, Jesus appeared unto them and said, Peace be unto you." Ken sent me a thing this week on peace, which is a whole nother sermon out of the Book of Mysteries on what shalom actually means. And it's an incredible word. Verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Now, I told you last week, and I'm going to tell you again. I believe he breathed into the faith of each one of them individually, and I'll show you why in Genesis in a moment. But the very breath of the resurrected Jesus Christ, which represents his life, was placed into every one of those disciples. And I want you to understand, when you and I get born again, the same thing happens to us. Because Jesus Christ is the source of our spiritual life. And his resurrected pneuma, his resurrected spirit, breath, or wind, pneuma means all three, gets blown or breathed into our inward soul and unites with our spirit. Now, let me show you something else that happens to you. Go with me to the book of Genesis. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, we see the creation story. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this: "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, who is the Lord God? Well, the Lord God is the second person of the Godhead. And we see him all throughout the Old Testament. We find out in John chapter 1 that the Lord God that appears in the Old Testament is the Word who became flesh. And John 1:14 says, "When the Word became flesh, we knew him as Jesus." So Jesus, in pre-incarnate form, before he took on a body as he did at Bethlehem or within the womb, Jesus walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And he would talk with Adam and Eve. And he would have an intimate conversation with them. But we see in creation that he took on bodily form, he came down to earth, and he breathed into man, Adam, into his nostrils, the very breath of life, and Adam inhaled and took his very first breath. So I want you to understand, every time a baby comes out of the womb, they're not in air in the womb. They're in water in the womb. They're in fluid in the womb. But when a baby comes out of the womb, when they take in that first breath, I want you to understand God is the source of that breath. And God gives that baby life. And he breathes into the nostrils of that baby the breath of life. So we see God in the formation within the womb. And then we see God when this child comes out of the womb. And so I want you to understand the breath of Jesus Christ is the source of my physical life. And he is the source of my spiritual eternal life. And just as real as I'm standing before you and I got born 57 years ago, I want you to know it was just as real when I got born again about 47 years ago. So I want you to understand that. And you need to be able to have a place in your life where you know you experience the divine breath, the divine life-giving power of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, I can't name the day. I can't name the hour. Some folks can. Lehman can. But I want you to understand, I know there was a season in my life where I came under conviction I needed to get saved. Yeah. And every sermon that man was preaching, I knew he was preaching just at me. Yeah. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So are you living this life? Now, I've got this life in me. I've got the very life of Christ, which represents the power of his resurrection, which represents the power of him knowing all things, which represents the power of his wisdom, the ability to forgive, his meekness, his love, all of these things, his courage and his faith. And so am I allowing these things to be lived in me and live through me? So I want you to notice a word here. Look at what it says. Verse 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Yeah. He became. Say that with me, became. Yeah. All right, he became. He became. Now, go with me to John chapter 1. Go with me to John chapter 1. I want you to understand what happened when I got born again. It's all about a life. And you say, "Brother Leo, why are you stressing this?" Because the church in America has lost this. You know, I want you to understand what he came to give. He said, "I came to give you life. I came to give you my life, the resurrection life." And we studied it last week, the energy and the force of the supernatural life of Christ comes into us. He didn't say, "I came to give you a religion. I came to give you a building. I came to give you programs. I came to give you, hey, we're going to show all these numbers because our church is better than your church." He didn't come to give us all that stuff. Now, you say, Brother Leo, can he not work through it? Certainly he can work through it. But in my experience, in a majority of cases, all that stuff has replaced the life.
Amen. Yes.
He came to breathe into you the breath of resurrection life.
Yes.
And there's a power in that. And there's an attraction in that. So our teachers go out this week, and Patty's already prayed. They need to see, these young people see that the life of Jesus is in this teacher. You may be the only Christian they ever see. There may not be Christians in their home. They may hear the Lord's name taken in vain every day in their home. They don't go to church on Sunday because nobody takes them to church on Sunday. But they can see Jesus in you. Your ministry is much greater than mine. And so we've got to understand, people need to see the life. They need to see the life. Now, we remember that word became. Look at what it says in John chapter 1. And look at what the scripture says. In John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But verse 12, but as many as received Him, and I'm going to stop right there. What do we see in John chapter 6? Jesus said, I came to give you life. So His part is the giving. What's my part? The receiving. All I got to do is receive what He offers. I came to give you life. As many as received Him, gave He the power and the liberty and the authority to become the sons of God only to them that believe on His name by faith. That's faith and commitment to His life, believing He is the Son of God and He becomes Lord and Savior of your life. But notice what it said. As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. Jesus breathed into Bobby Webb and Sue Webb and Bill and me. And when He breathed into me, I became what? A child of God. So what's this about? It's about receiving, becoming, and living. That's action. That's force. It's not static. That's what I want you to understand. This Christian life's not static. Most people can tell you, you know, I got saved. You know, I got baptized. And then it seems like it all stops right there.
Yeah.
You know? Or I've been going to church for 30 years and we show up every Sunday and it never gets past that. You know, and they don't have the understanding that the very breath of the resurrected Christ, the creator of the universe, the one who made hummingbirds and rhinos, all of this stuff, He is dwelling in me. So when 1 John tells me greater is He who's in you than all this junk that you're facing, you better believe that that is true. And there's a divine force and energy, a supernatural force and energy that allows you to live a life above the storms and the waves. Not being overwhelmed by it. And I don't think we recognize that enough. Because again, I can remember growing up at Southern Baptist. I can remember pastoring as a Southern Baptist. And I did it. I mean, I did things to attract the numbers. I did things to get them baptized in the pool. I did things to get the award. And in all of that, I was replacing the message of the power.
Yeah.
He said, I came to give you a life. And so that's the question. Are you living the life? The life of Christ in you and the life of Christ through you. Now, go to John chapter 10. This is the Good Shepherd chapter. And what a good shepherd he is, because he laid down his life for his sheep. And in John chapter 10, verse 28... Verse 27, Jesus says this, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. Would you say that with me? Eternal life. Eternal life. What is temporary about eternal life? Nothing. I don't see how in the world you can introduce a doctrine to a group of people that is an antonym of how Christ describes salvation. What concerns me is it results in people living in fear and doubt. And I'm going to show you a surety in a moment. But notice what he says. I get, that's his job, okay? My job is to receive it. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Would you say that with me? Never perish. Isn't that wonderful? I'm very excited, Miss Sue, about not being at my funeral. And I'm very excited that you're going to wear a special hat that day. Amen. Amen. Because she got one on now. Me and Miss Sue always talk about her ensembles as she goes out. I want to help her get a clothing line going. I will never perish. But notice what he says. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But that's not even what I'm teaching today. In verse 28, he says, I give unto you eternal life. Now, what characterizes eternal life? Well, number one, I know them. Verse 27, I know them. Verse 27, they know me. They hear my voice. Verse 27, and they follow me. It's a lifestyle of intimacy and relationship by which we know Him. He knows us. He calls us by name. We know His voice, and He guides us, and we follow Him. You need to read 1 John now. I'm not going to be able to cover it all. We follow Him in a lifestyle of habitual righteousness and not habitual sin. There's a change. Now, if we say we don't sin, we lie. And when we do sin, we have to go confess. That's in 1 John. I've been doing a huge study in 1 John. But it says also the child of God doesn't habitually sin. Now, that's not, you can't get that out of the King James. You have to go to the Greek. But it's a whole lifestyle. It's a different life. If any man be in Christ, he has what? A new life. I'm walking, Romans 6:4, in newness of life. Yes, so you got to know you received the new life. Now, look at what it says in verse 9 of John chapter 10. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. So, what about this everlasting life? You live this everlasting life. You go in, you go out. You go into the sheepfold. He leads you there for protection and sleep. You come out of the sheepfold, and He leads you to green pastures and opportunities and, Gerald, doors that open or doors that close. And He provides for all your needs. And you recognize His provision for all your needs. I shared with the Wednesday night group twice, two Wednesdays in a row. I was reading a devotional where the author said, if we would really stop and realize before we eat a meal how much God has really actually provided. Yeah. And what he meant was, not only has He provided the meal, He's provided you the job or the health to make the money to pay for the meal. He has provided America where the meal has been produced and brought to you. He has provided all the logistics when there are 60 and at times 70% of the world's population missing meals and Americans haven't. And he went through this whole litany of things. He said, every time if you would really focus on how God has provided the green pasture in every meal that you eat, it would certainly be a spiritual experience of praise and thanksgiving. Amen. And it would be. Yeah. And it would be. And that's living the life. Recognize that every good thing I have has come from Jesus. I spent a lot of time in Thanksgiving yesterday just thanking Jesus for Patty, for a Christian wife. What a wonderful wife and mother. And you can get on those things. And you can pray those things. And you can stay 30 minutes on thanking God for one person and what they mean to you and how He's brought them into your life. And then I started thinking about other people over the last 50 years, you know, where God has used their influences in your life. That's what that verse means in verse 9. You will be saved and you will go in and out through life and find pasture. It's about receiving, becoming, and living the life of Christ that is in you. And so the Lord calls it everlasting life. I give unto them, go back to verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Are you living the eternal life that you have received? Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. And this is the eternal life in simplicity. And I love this. It opens up in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, where John says, and this is the record. I love it when he says that. And they'll use that phrase from time to time in the New Testament. I mean, this is undoubtedly the truth. This is the absolute record. This is written in the stone that will never pass away. Here it is, 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this eternal life is in His Son. Is that not beautiful? Just get up tomorrow morning and read that out loud. Eternal life is in the Son. Oh, I joined the church. Folks, we need you to join the church. No, I can't find that verse anywhere in the Bible. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he that has the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This life is in the Son, and the question is the Son's life in me? Now when you got saved, He breathed that life into you. And you became not a living soul, you were alive physically, but you became a living child of God that's going to live forever. So I have the life of Jesus in me. That happens at salvation. For me to live it, I've got to have the life of Jesus coming through me. And Paul says, anywhere in your life, Paul says, I strive for the high calling of the life of Jesus to be lived through me. And if there's any area in my life where it's not being lived out, He will reveal it unto me. Yes. And you need to seek that. But notice what that says. Verse 11. This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that has the Son has life. And he that hath not the Son of God has not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to tell you, I fail all the time, and I'm going to tell you something. I've got eternal life, and I know it. Yeah. And all born-again children of God should know it. Now, you can get so far out of God's will, you can forget, you can doubt things. That's why Peter says you need to add to your faith virtue and truth, and loving kindness, and all these things, because you want to build yourself up and establish the relationship that you begin at salvation. Look at what he says. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son, that you may know that you have eternal life. You're saying to me, Brother Leo, I'm just not sure. Then we really need to talk. Amen. We really need to talk. Because maybe you didn't come to a place. Or if you're listening on the website, you need to email. You know it. Well, Brother Leo, I made a mess of my life. Well, I made a mess of my life. But I know when I received Jesus Christ and His life. And you say, well, Brother Leo, how do you know? Because Jesus said something to His disciples. He goes, my peace is what I'm going to send to you. You'll know you got me because my peace I leave unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So at the moment of salvation, and I experienced it, and everybody I've ever spoken with these last 35 years has, they'll say, man, I just felt an overwhelming peace. I can't explain. Stuff got lifted off. Peace got filled in. I mean, the burden of the guilt goes and you feel the peace. And you are actually lighter. L-I-G-H-T-E-R. You're lighter.
Amen.
Because you're not carrying the penalty of your sins anymore. And then look at what it says in verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. Jesus Christ already came. And hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this, my friend, is eternal life. You say, well, Brother Leo, I've always been a good Baptist, or I've always been a good Catholic, or I've always been a good Methodist, or, you know, I'm a good person. No, no, no. It is. And you read the whole book of 1 John. It doesn't say anything about being good. It says, he that has the Son of God has eternal life.
Yeah.
And so am I now living the life. Let's close out again in Galatians chapter 2. Let's close out in Galatians chapter 2. And Paul describes this Zoe, this inner spiritual life, as good as the Greek. In one verse, and this is it. And man, you don't want anything damming up the flow of the living water just going all through your inner soul and spirit. And you say, Brother Leo, how do you characterize this life? Well, this life is joy and it's peace, but it's also endurance. In perseverance, hope, because our circumstances change. Sometimes everything's going good for us. Sometimes everything's coming against us. And I want you to know that perseverance and endurance are a divine energy from God, just like peace and joy is a divine energy from God. And the beautiful thing is, whatever you're going through, you can draw on this divine force and energy.
Yeah.
And you have hope.
Yeah.
And you keep going forward. And you keep ministering to others. Because I'm going to tell you something. You just don't grow on the mountaintops. You grow in the valleys.
Amen.
Your faith can only be strengthened by the trials and tribulations. And all of it's for preparation to be able to minister to somebody else who's going to be in your spot. And so we count it all joy. That's what Paul said. And we got to learn to do. Now, here's the life. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I still live physically. Yet not I inwardly, but Christ is living and ruling within me. And the life which I'm now living in the flesh, I'm living under the authority and in the energy of the faith of the Son of God. Now, other translations have changed that to in. That is not correct there. It's the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Certainly we need faith in the Son of God, but the faith of, what the Scripture says, the Lord hath given unto us the same measure of faith. Faith is a divine gift of God. So I'm living in the faith of Jesus Christ, which is an energy. My faith stinks a lot of times. My faith comes up short. But His faith went through Gethsemane. His faith set His face to Jerusalem. His faith endured the cross. His faith came out of the grave. His faith defeated every demon from hell. I want the energy of the faith of Christ operating in my life.
Yeah.
And I want the energy of the peace of Christ. And the energy of the wisdom of Christ. And that's what Paul's saying. All these attributes of the character of Jesus Christ, God Himself, are available when He breathes into you His life. And you want these things being lived out through you. I can't forgive certain things, but the forgiveness of Christ can be operating in my life. I can't know certain things, but the wisdom of God can give me discernment and knowledge, because He sees the future and I don't. And so we make these decisions based on His wisdom, His knowledge, that's part of what God breathed into us. But as long as we keep using our natural breath, we're not unleashing the life that I now live. Are you living this eternal life? Life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as Martha Jo comes to play softly for a few moments. And as she is playing today, just take a few moments and celebrate. I just want you to praise God, man. He has breathed into you the resurrection breath of divinity. I can't even describe this thing. I just want to sit there and look at John chapter 20, verse 19, and just keep reading it and thinking about it. And I want you to just take a deep breath while you're praying and drink deeply from the river of living water and let the divine force and energy of all that Jesus is, as the Greeks say, the Zoe, the highest, most blessed state of Jesus, has been brought into your inner life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments and meet with Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you're not saved, or you're not sure, I'm going to ask you to come up and have a word of prayer with me. Set up something. My friend, you want to be sure. The Word says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know with certainty that you have eternal life. You can't live it if you doubt. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you want to pray with me about anything, you come.